Next on the 5 o'clock report.
I'm addressing the President Biden.
It's about making sure Ukraine will never be a victory for Putin.
There's nothing less than genocide going on.
Before it's too late, before more people are killed, before Kiev falls.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Mark Webster. A desperate plea for help.
Is this a lot to ask for? To create a no-fly zone over Ukraine to save people? Is this too much to ask?
An interpreter translating for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky during a remote address to a joint session of Congress this morning. His presentation included graphic video of the carnage Ukrainians have suffered at the hands of relentless Russian bombing and missile attacks as the invasion enters its third week. He summed up his case in English with a direct message for his American counterpart.
I'm addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the nation. Of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world.
In response this afternoon, President Biden did sign an $800 million aid package for Ukraine.
It's about making sure Ukraine will never be a victory for Putin, no matter what advances he makes on the battlefield.
The aid package includes delivery of drones, anti-aircraft systems, and shoulder-mounted missiles. Plenty of reaction to Zelensky's plea from his congressional audience. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise didn't mince words.
But it shows you that there's nothing less than genocide going on in Ukraine by Putin and his army.
Ohio GOP Senator Rob Portman says America needs to act quickly.
Before it's too late, before more people are killed, before Kiev falls, before Kharkiv is reduced to rubble, we have to act and act quickly. It's not a matter of weeks, it's a matter of hours.
And former Vice President Mike Pence says Putin must be made to pay.
There's one person to blame for this invasion. It's Vladimir Putin. And Putin must pay for the violence that he is visiting upon the people of Ukraine.
Pence supports calls to supply Ukraine with more military supplies to defend themselves. He says Putin believed he'd just waltz right into Kyiv and have the Ukrainian government at its knees, but badly underestimated Ukrainian and global resolve. This afternoon, President Biden called Putin a war criminal for the first time. The call to bring formal war crimes charges against Putin is growing louder.
The world is confronted with new, shocking, horrible images of civilians in Ukraine that have been killed or wounded as a result of Russian military attacks.
Massachusetts Democrat Bill Keating opened a House hearing citing gross violations of human rights in Ukraine. He said Russia is responsible for a growing humanitarian tragedy and can't deny the atrocities that are being committed. Those concerns about an epic humanitarian crisis echoed by former New York Governor George Pataki. He traveled to Ukraine this month on a humanitarian trip which brought three plane loads of medical supplies to Hungary for Ukrainian refugees. He warned, quote, "We're going to see a humanitarian crisis like hasn't existed since the end of World War II. The former governor added he can't understand inaction by the U.S. and NATO to close Ukrainian airspace to Russia. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee agrees with Ukrainian President Zelensky's call for a new alliance of countries to try to stop international conflicts such as this one quicker.
If one nation in Europe can essentially invade and bully its neighbor in the way Russia is doing with Ukraine, and the world is powerless to stop it, then the system we set up hasn't worked.
California Democrat Adam Schiff doesn't have a specific new architecture in mind, but says he envisions a global line of economies that could wall off an aggressor in the world economy. Elsewhere in our world today, a huge earthquake struck off the northeastern coast of Japan. The 7.3 magnitude quake triggered a tsunami warning for Fukushima and other areas. Widespread power outages reported. In 2011, you may recall, a 9.0 quake struck in that same area, killing more than 18,000 people and causing a major disaster at the Fukushima nuclear power plant. Tragedy in the college sports world after a highway crash involving a bus carrying the men's and women's golf teams from the University of the Southwest. 9 people reported killed, including 6 members of those golf teams.
This was a head-on crash. One of the vehicles involved belonged to the University of the Southwest. It was transporting the men's and women's golf team from a golf tournament. here in the West Texas area.
Sergeant Stephen Blanco with the Texas Department of Public Safety. The teams were on their way back to campus in Hobbs, New Mexico. A group of airline pilots is suing the CDC, challenging the mask mandate on flights. Rory O'Neill reports.
10 pilots from 4 airlines are suing the CDC over the COVID mask mandate, saying it's unconstitutional and unsafe. The pilots are challenging the legality of the order and also say the mask mandate is the reason behind thousands of complaints of unruly passengers. The mask requirement is in effect until at least April 18th, following a recent extension by the TSA. More than a dozen lawsuits have been filed challenging mask mandates, but this may be the first by airline workers. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Arkansas-based Walmart says it plans to hire more than 50,000 employees by the end of next month as it looks to expand into new businesses that will include delivery drivers, personal shoppers, and data scientists, to name a few. The country's largest private employer wants to bolster its advertising business and its third-party marketplace, as well as expand its grocery delivery service. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a Cuomo undercount and a Cuomo comeback, no love for Governor Hochul, and a new American space endurance record.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is a check of your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our call for tonight is for moonlit skies, low temperatures, mid-30s to the middle 40s. Tomorrow, for most, partly sunny, warmer, high 60s and low 70s, cooling near Lake Erie, Ontario. The exception, central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York tomorrow, where it's cloudy with a bit of rain and highs in the 50s. On Friday, some sun and clouding up with high temperatures in the mid-50s to the middle 60s.
Thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. An audit by the New York Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, shows the state health department misled the public during the height of the pandemic. Family Life's Jeremy Miller reports.
That's right. The new report shows that the health department undercounted deaths of nursing home residents by more than 4,000, with then-Governor Andrew Cuomo cutting real numbers by more than 50%. Auditors say Cuomo routinely reported incorrect data, inflating the perception of New York's performance against other states. Cuomo has said it was difficult to determine all the deaths because some nursing home residents died in hospitals or at home. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
That news comes as a New York City TV station reports Cuomo is considering jumping back into politics. NBC4 New York reports he's looking into running against Governor Kathy Hochul in the upcoming Democratic primary. He recently started running TV ads promoting his achievements while governor of New York. They say New York City can be a pretty tough crowd, and you probably won't get any argument about that from Governor Kathy Hochul today, not after the greeting she got at last night's New York Rangers hockey game.
Tonight, we'd like to salute Governor Kathy Hochul, the first female governor of New York State. Governor Hochul began her career...
The governor was there for Women's Empowerment Night. No comment from her office today on the rough reception from the Madison Square Garden crowd. New York City's 9/11 Memorial and Museum says they have now tracked down photos of every person who died in the attacks, except for one. Paul DeCastro has more.
The museum had a photo for all but two victims, but a photo of Albert Ogletree was added to the In Memoriam exhibit on Tuesday. The museum staff searched Ancestry.com and determined Ogletree grew up in a suburb of Detroit. Weeks after reaching out to a high school there, a nearly eight-month search ended with an email that included a school photo of a young Albert Ogletree. The 49-year-old cafeteria worker died in the North Tower. That means the only victim whose photo is missing from the exhibit is fellow cafeteria worker Antonio Dorsey Pratt. Paul DeCastro, NBC News Radio, New York.
Now to the Keystone State. Pennsylvania politicians have rejected regulatory reforms on charter schools from the Wolf administration. The governor says the reforms would increase accountability, equity, education opportunity, and transparency. Opponents argue they would have stifled school choice. And a bizarre story out of Clearfield County, PA, as a former borough of Osceola Mills mayor faces several charges for allegedly shooting at two people who were playing Pokemon Go. State police say 50-year-old Ida Reams was intoxicated when she confronted the Pokemon pair. Now, that game involves using GPS to locate virtual Pokemon creatures. Police say Reams accused them of being drug addicts and, after a verbal confrontation, fired off several shots at them, fortunately missing. The former mayor now in jail in lieu of $50,000 bail, awaiting a hearing next week. World Vision is one of dozens of ministries on the ground in Ukraine, assisting with the humanitarian catastrophe caused by Russia's three-week-old war.
Ukraine's a very large country, and Western Ukraine, relatively speaking, is still safe to operate in.
Stephen Edwards is in charge of coordinating World Vision's relief efforts in Eastern Europe.
3 million refugees in less than 3 weeks is just an unbelievable number. It's crazy, but I will say the entire international community, the humanitarian community, has mobilized for this.
Edwards says the global response to this international crisis has been nothing short of miraculous.
It's extremely important that we coordinate with each other and work together to try to reach as many people as possible. It's a cliche, but we are stronger together in those circumstances. And I know personally that a lot of teams are on the ground coordinating with each other, trying to mobilize resources to help as many people as possible.
Family Life's Bob Price spoke with Edwards earlier today.
It's hard to watch, and you guys are right on the front lines, have been there. A largest refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. I mean, we can't even wrap our heads around. Well, you see what's going on in Mariupol and places like that. It just defies logic. I mean, how does Ukraine ever recover from this?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, and I honestly don't know the answer to it. I mean, it has to start with peace. And that's the thing, and that's the thing that feels very elusive at the moment, unfortunately, and so much of it is outside of our own control, but that's step one. I hope that the international community in general, those that are directly involved in this conflict, at some point we're able to find an off-ramp and we're able to find peace, and that's the point where rebuilding can start. Unfortunately, until then, the conflict is going to be ongoing, and signs are pointing towards this being a protracted conflict that lasts a long time.
That's Stephen Edwards with World Vision. His fear is that a war of attrition will break out in Ukraine and the insurgency there could last months, if not years. Your nightly market report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Wall Street stocks were up sharply today. The Dow gained 519 points, the NASDAQ up 488, and the S&P up 96 points. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Find out more at ambassadoradvisors.com.
You should always be nice to your kids because someday they'll choose your nursing home. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's Money Wise Minute. That's an old joke, but there's some truth in it. One way to keep long-term care decisions in your hands is to have insurance. Otherwise, if you ever need long-term care, and studies show about two-thirds of us will, you'll be limited to facilities that accept Medicaid, and they're not always the best. Long-term care insurance seems expensive until you compare it to the cost of that care, more than $8,000 a month. The best time to buy this insurance is between the ages of 55 and 60. After that, it could be priced out of your reach. Plan today to get long-term care insurance and give yourself peace of mind. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, a long stretch in space. But first, let's check in again with Kevin Williams.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is a check of your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, under a mostly moonlit sky, it'll be calm and comfortable tonight. And then tomorrow, we'll feel like spring as temperatures away from the lakes head into the 60s and 70s in some spots, although it'll be cooler with a bit of rain in eastern Pennsylvania. Our next weather maker arrives over the weekend with a chilly rain on Friday night and Saturday, perhaps a touch of snow at the end on Sunday. Our call for tonight is for moonlit skies, but some patchy low clouds and fog near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Low temperatures, mid-30s to the middle 40s. Tomorrow, for the most, partly sunny, warmer high, 60s and low 70s, cooler near Lake Erie in Ontario. The exception, central and eastern Pennsylvania and the eastern southern tier of New York tomorrow, where it's cloudy with a bit of rain and highs in the 50s. On Friday, some sun and clouding up with high temperatures in the mid-50s. To the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally at 5, astronaut Mark Vandehei made history on Tuesday when he notched the record for the longest single spaceflight in U.S. history. Though, as Trey Thomas reports, even that wonderful feat can't completely escape the reality of the troubled world below him.
At 340 days, 8 hours, and 42 minutes, Vandehei has now surpassed the previous record set by astronaut Scott Kelly back in 2013. He's set to stay on the International Space Station until March 30th, which will put his trip at 355 days. Vandehei is set to return to Earth on a Russian Soyuz capsule, despite the tensions over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I'm Trey Thomas.
Hopefully you can get a ride home. That's the world we live in for Wednesday, the 16th of March. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.